This is Word of Mouth for New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Not all ice is created equal. When you order a pricey craft cocktail made with fresh-squeezed juices and infused liquors, do you really want to drink it with cloudy lumps of ice cubes that came out of a nozzle? How déclassé. Yes, indeed, we are entering the age of artisanal ice. But like all things small batch and handmade, it is a retro thing, hearkening back to the advent of the cold cocktail and its essential ice cube. The writer Camper English followed the chilly, alcohol-soaked history of the ice cube and wrote about it in Freezer Harvest, A History of Ice Cubes for ModernFarmer.com. Camper English, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
The South is known for its mint juleps and Pimm's cups and, of course, the Caribbean daiquiris and mojitos and other cold cocktails. Apparently, we have an American entrepreneur to thank for all those. Who is it?
That's Frederick Tudor, the man who more or less created the ice industry. He came up with the idea to harvest pond ice from lakes and ponds around New England and to export it around the world to as far away as India from Massachusetts.
When was he doing this?
We started around 1800, and from 1800 to around 1830 was the buildup of the ice industry as it came to be. And that changed everything, not just in cocktails, but with refrigeration. It really brought new technology to the world.
Well, I'm thinking ice harvesting. These are these big, giant blocks of ice that are getting shipped around and kept in ice houses and cold boxes. Where did the ice cube come from?
Well, the cube came when you would break down these big blocks originally and into smaller bits usable in drinks or for cooling in general. So you mentioned the julep before. Julep would be made from the shavings that came off of a big block, perhaps when you were sewing up a larger block into smaller ones, and you have all that shaved or crushed ice, we would say. That's the right ice for a julep, and that's pretty much how the julep came about.
So today, when a bartender asks if you want to drink straight up or on the rocks, back then it was actually the composition of the ice that was crucial to the cocktail.
Yeah, there was a lot of different sizes of ice for different types of drinks. Old cocktail books would specify one or two lumps of ice. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have lumps very often from commercial ice machines. But
well, yeah, that is so interesting. But did they not mix drinks before the ice cube?
Well, they absolutely mixed drinks and cocktails before ice became popular in drinks, but the early recipes would say water instead of today we would always say ice. So the original definition for the cocktail from 1806 is when it was first defined in America was a concoction of spirits, sugar, bitters, and water. And today we would say ice.
Mm. What kind of drinks were born out of this late ice age, I guess?
Well, the whole concept of cooling drinks really came out of ice being available in drinks, and particularly in the southern part of the U.S. Ice coming from New England and Massachusetts in particular was being shipped around and hitting ports like New Orleans in particular. And so many cocktails were born in New Orleans, like the Sazerac. The julep was born in the South as well with those ice shavings, as we had mentioned. The cobbler is another drink that came along with cobblestone size little pieces of ice that fell off the blocks and so on. But ice is one thing that helped define American drinks. And when American drinks spread out from America to the rest of the world, the two things that made them American were the use of bitters in cocktails as well as the use of ice.
Wow. Well, now that classic cocktails are really in vogue, how strictly are bartenders adhering to the recipes, which sometimes actually call for different kinds of authentic ice?
Well, it's really fun in a lot of places. Like there's a bar drink in Boston where they have a great big block of ice on the back bar. And if you want a julep or a cobbler, they will chop off a big piece and put it in a bag and smash it with a mallet to get it to the size of the appropriate size ice for the drink that you have ordered. So it gets pretty nerdy. And also, people are insisting on clarity in their ice for great big clear ice cubes that you can't really make at your home refrigerator.
How are people getting these big, huge blocks of ice?
for the most part, people order them from ice companies, and these ice companies use a type of machine that produces blocks for ice sculptures. And those, the way they're able to freeze clear is by using running water. So there's no pockets for the air trapped within the water to freeze and make the cloudiness in the ice, as well as they all have much better filtration for the water so that there's less any trapped impurities in the ice as well.
So could we conceivably make clear ice like this at home?
There is a way, and it's a way that I helped, I don't know, promote and develop. And it's a really simple way, but it takes up a lot of space in your freezer. If you take a hard-sided picnic cooler, like an igloo lunch cooler, and fill that with water, leave the lid off, and put it in your freezer, the ice now will freeze only from the top down because all the other sides are insulated. And this will push any trapped air and impurities towards the bottom as it freezes, because ice would prefer to be clear if given the choice. And so the first part of the ice that freezes will all be perfectly clear, and only the bottom in this cooler would be cloudy. So you can either let it freeze all the way and chop off the cloudy bottom, or you can just not let it freeze all the way and have a perfectly clear big slab of ice, which then you'll need to use some new ice pick skills to cut it down into the size of cubes that will fit your glass.
And you have to have a lot of people over, I guess, for drinkies. Camper English, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Camper English is a freelance writer. We found his article, Freezer Harvest, A History of Ice Cubes, in modernfarmer.com. Not all of New England's natural ice producers went out of business with the advent of refrigeration. Last year, NHBR's Sam Evans-Brown visited Camp Rocky Wall Deep Haven on the north end of Squam Lake for their 115th annual ice harvest.
John Jersinski, the co-manager of Rocky Wall Deep Haven Camps, oversees a team of about 14 helpers cutting grid patterns into 12-inch thick ice and breaking off the squares like chunks of a Hershey bar. The squares are floated into a channel, prodded into a queue with long hooked poles where they bob in place, waiting to be hauled away.
Grab five blocks at a time, bring them up on the ramp, slide them into the back of the truck, load the truck up, and bring it to one of our two ice houses. We have two or three folks in that ice house packing it tight against each other.
During the summer, camp staff bring ice around in wheelbarrows every morning to the camp's guests. New Englanders have been doing this kind of ice cutting since the late 1700s, and the ice trade took off in the mid-19th century. Ice harvested here used to be shipped to the Caribbean, South America, even India and Australia. It was packed into the lining of chilled rail cars and gave birth to trade in perishable foodstuffs. Rocky Wall started harvesting at the end of the 1800s, right about the time that mechanical refrigeration was starting to spell the end of the New England ice trade. But they didn't stop. And Jersinski says they aren't planning on stopping anytime soon.
Here in the 1970s, they tried putting a few refrigerators in some of the cottages, and guests didn't go for it at all. It's the ambiance. It's very nice to be able to go back in time.
Of course, the way ice is harvested has changed.
I'm Norman Lyford.
So how long have you been doing this?
68 years.
When Lyford started, they were using a horse to pull the ice blocks up into the truck instead of a winch. And the saw that they used to cut the ice was a bit more primitive.
We used to have a one-lunger. We used to have filled it with water to keep it cool.
A one-lunger?
Yeah.
I don't know. What's that mean?
It used to be, that's what they, years ago, they used to have for motors. Mm-hmm. They called them one-lunger. They were just one spark plug.
Right. One cylinder.
Yeah.
Despite the modern winches and saws and the two flatbed trucks to haul the ice, it takes 3 days of solid work to fill the camp's two ice houses. That gives enough ice to stock 62 ice boxes all year round. Dave White lives in an off-the-grid house one town over. He helps out with the harvest in exchange for being able to fill up his own miniature ice house. For him, that ice is a zero electricity way to keep his food cold. And while this year's warmth has got him worried, he's not giving up.
It may be an act of faith for Rocky Wall, even, to continue to have an ice harvest. And I guess if they're willing, I'm willing.
The ice harvest this year went off without a hitch. Well, one small hitch. They had to stop in the middle to plow the lake after a blizzard dumped 14 inches of snow onto the ice field. No bother, says John Jersinski. The blizzard just turned nice ice skating conditions into nice cross-country skiing conditions.
Thanks to Sam Evans Brown for that story. Stay with us for the story of a man who brazenly took on the heartbleed hysteria by posting his online passwords for all the world to see. That's when word of mouth continues. But first, the news.